Mac Sharry. Weekends from 9 on 2FM.
Usually on a Sunday before wrapping up, we talk about the best celebrity stories of the week in our pop panel. But as we are having a Pride special this weekend, we thought we'd do something special. So we invited Gogglebox pals Dave and John to run us through some of the best and biggest stories of the queer year. So let's kick it off by going all the way back to Pride last year. Guys, well, first of all, let's say hello. How are you?
Hello.
How are you?
Welcome. Pull that microphone right up to your face there. Okay. That's okay. So how are you doing? What's it like being the gays on Gogglebox, which I gather is what people call you?
God, when you say it like that, it sounds like it comes with a certain level of responsibility. I mean, I think we comment on, you know, Dahi and Maura. So, I mean, I wouldn't go looking to us as a beacon of information and stuff, but we do our best.
It's fun. It's nice. Everyone's really nice. I was really nervous before we started doing it, but everyone's been super sound.
I suppose at the start you were like, we'd never done anything like that, and you were like, we were both a little frightened of like what the tweet machine was going to say. But the tweet machine has been nice, and we all live and die by the tweet machine.
And the thing as well to remember is we're actually just nice people. We're not going to say horrible things as well.
Well, good. Now that we've established that, let's talk about the events of the queer year, as it were. So we're doing Pride to Pride as opposed to January to June. Yeah. So last July, Lil Nas X made it onto the charts. And this was a big moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
Because have we had an artist like Lil Nas X before, who's an out gay artist, you know, with his style, with his pizzazz, but then a big hip hop star?
Not that I can think of. I know Frank Ocean is out, isn't
yeah.
he? But I think what's really impressive about Lil Nas X was the way in which he came out.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't care about it at all. He had fun with it. Like, I think, if I recall correctly, he did it over a series of, like, three tweets.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the first one, he alluded to it with, like, a rainbow flag, but didn't definitively say it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when people started to speculate, I think his next follow-up tweet was, oh, I thought I made this clear. And he tweeted his EP that had a rainbow flag projected on one of the buildings, but he still never said it. And then it was only in a final interview that he was like, oh, yeah, no, actually, I am gay. But, like, if you contrast that back to, like, the 90s when, like, Ellen and other celebrities came out, and it was such a massive deal, and they had to, like, go into hiding, whereas he was just totally fine with it. He had fun, and he didn't have to, like, sacrifice his persona.
Yeah, and I think what was interesting with him as well is that he felt comfortable to do it at the start of the career.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? He's, like, the kid's 20.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I didn't realise he was so young. So he was willing to take this, you know, inverted commas, risk at the start of his career. And I'm sure that there was definitely, we all know how music works. I'm sure there was someone behind the scenes saying, this is not a good idea.
Yeah.
Is this going to appeal to your demographic? And he was just like, I don't give a whatever. Do you know what I mean? I'm just doing it. And I thought, for that reason, the fact that he just seemed to be like, this is my story, this is what I'm doing, it's no one else's business, but I'm also just putting it out there. That's what made the story special.
He's very unapologetic in general, isn't he? Because his music, you know, there was all the controversy about, is it country, is it not country, is it hip-hop, is it non-hip-hop? You know, he doesn't really fit a mould.
Yeah.
And that's very kind of inspiring, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, I certainly didn't think I'd be sitting here. You know, first of all, I didn't think I'd be sitting here, but this time last year, did I think that Lil Nas would have the biggest song of the year with Billy Ray Cyrus? No, I did not, because, I mean, on my bingo 2019, I didn't have that on the card. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I don't know if bingo cards for years should be a thing anymore, because you truly cannot predict a thing that happens in this world.
Oh, sure, look, we all burnt up our bingo card in March.
100%. 100%. Well, let's go to Ireland now, because in August, Love Sensation arrived on the scene.
Oh, so much fun. I'm devastated that it's not happening again this year.
And I'd like to talk about something that everyone is talking about right now.
Okay.
And that is the toilet situation.
Okay?
We live in a world where you can't do anything because you have to think about the toilet.
Yeah.
Love Sensation had the greatest toilet system I have ever witnessed at a concert venue.
Okay.
People asked me, how were the acts? And I was like, do you know it only took 4 minutes to go to the toilet? That was literally, all I spoke about was how well organised the toilets were. I was like Frances Brennan on a tour. I was like, the toilet!
I missed it because I had just had a baby and I was raging because it sounded like it was breathing. Khalees, Lily Allen, and the vibe seemed to be really super.
Yeah, it was amazing. Everyone was in such a good mood. Like, I mean, it was the first example that I can remember of being in a festival where I felt totally comfortable and totally free to be myself and not care about like any drama or anyone coming up saying anything to you, because everyone was so super sound.
And would you be worried about that at other festivals?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Like, there's always an element of it in the back of your head when you're walking around if there's like a group of like
lads.
Young. Yeah, totally. Like, yeah. And I think you're just programmed to think that way from being really young and growing up and having to deal with it.
I mean,
and
the thing is, it's still 2020, but like, there's a big difference, as Dave is saying there, between holding your hand with your partner in the Electric Picnic and holding your hand with your partner in Love Sensation. There was a different dynamic to it. Yeah. It was kind of like our festival and other people were welcome to it, as opposed to the other way around.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it was like, if you're coming to this, the rule is don't be a dick.
Mm.
And so that's why it was so lovely, because no one was a dick.
Yeah.
I also, I think though, there was a lot of pride associated with it as well. Like, if someone had said to me when I was 15 in secondary school, oh, Ireland's going to host an LGBT festival, I never would have believed it.
Mm.
Like, so in a way, it was kind of such a symbol of how far that we've come. The fact that Cormac Cashman and co pulled it off and nobody blinked an eyelid. It was just like, oh yeah, this is another festival. This is pretty cool.
And it was, of course, due to happen again this summer, but obviously COVID, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's going to happen next summer. Cannot wait for that. And it's great to have that on the calendar, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
It's also great that you can go home after it.
Yes.
I'm too old to be in a tent. It's just
John, I have known you for a long time and you've been saying I'm too old to ... since I first met you like 15 years ago. So this is just like, there's a reason your Twitter handle is Nana's Thoughts. So I don't know if you're a great example for that.
That's why I'm like confused that I'm at this conversation, because I don't know stuff. My brain is still stuck in 1999 listening to Celine Dion.
You do know stuff. Well, let's move on, because we've got a lot to cover in this queer year. And in August, Pose returned for season 2. This is a huge programme, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. I love it so much. Like, it's done so much for not only trans visibility, but I think it's really humanised the trans community as well.
Mm.
Like, the storylines in it are so incredible. Like, it's the first instance that I can remember of watching a show where the cast is built up of trans actors and actresses.
Yeah.
And it's just brilliant. And like, what I love about it as well, I know Ryan Murphy, when he was writing it, he recruited the help of Janet Mock. So she's a really well-known trans activist. And writer. So he was obviously really considered in the stories that he wanted to tell.
Mm.
And I think it's brilliant as well. Like, it's kind of broken that toxic trend in Hollywood where they have a tendency to cast like cisgendered actors to play trans roles.
Mm.
But on
top of all of that, what I thought was amazing about Pose was like, it educated me. You know, me as a white gay man, you know, I have a certain privilege. I do as a white gay man that is not afforded to, let's say, our black trans sisters. And I was watching the show and I was taken aback because I didn't know a lot of this stuff. I wasn't educated.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And I think what a lot of us have been doing over the past couple of months is educating ourselves. So, you know, I think this Pride, more than any Pride, of course, it's a universal feeling. But this Pride, more than any Pride, is about our trans brothers and sisters. It really is. The fight isn't over.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And I think some of us got into a place of complacency when we got marriage equality and we thought everything was fine. But it's not. There's still a lot of work to be done.
Mm.
And Pose is a prime example of that.
Mm.
But I think as well, it also kind of shows, like what you were saying there, there is that opportunity to grow as a person. Like, I know Ryan Murphy wrote Nip Tuck, where he was involved in it, and that had some awful portrayals of trans characters.
Mm.
Whereas now he's gone on to produce and create this show where it's really, really doing a lot for the trans community.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? And I think what you just said there, John, is exactly it, that like, we are all in a process of learning. And sometimes I think in our current culture, the learning is lost because people are expected to be fully formed and you're not allowed to make any mistakes and you should know everything now. And that's just not reality.
Yeah.
You know, people have to be able to learn and grow. I certainly have done things that I would not be proud of. I've said things, I've worn things that, you know, with hindsight, I'm like, that was absolutely not appropriate.
Yeah.
But I didn't know then what I know now. And as long as we're all working to learn and working to move forward, I think that's the direction that we need to go in. And hopefully we can forgive people for things like, you know, yeah, Nip Tuck, not great when you watch it in 2020. We know better now. Yeah, and Ryan Murphy has obviously worked hard to know better.
But the learning, like when I say the learning continues, it's constant. Like even when we were like, you know, discussing the topics and stuff that we might talk about today, I had to go and learn some stuff. There was stuff that passed me by because it's just not on my radar. And why isn't it on my radar? It's because my radar has been focused a certain way for a certain time and I just view things through a certain viewpoint. So we are, I think it is so important, like especially during this month and during Pride Month, that we really step outside of our bubble, of our cis or our white gay bubble and look at what's going on around us. Because there's a load of shit going on that we actually just don't know about because it doesn't appear on our Twitter because we're not following the right people. We're following our own echo chamber and loads of crap is being lost. So it's time to step outside that.
Well, we have lots more to talk about, guys. So if you wouldn't mind hanging on, we'll just take a quick break and we'll be back after this. We are back with John and Dave from Gogglebox, who today are talking us through the queer year, the year from Pride to Pride. And we are now at, well, would you believe we're in November now, guys? Cast your minds back. A very significant thing happened in Ireland. PrEP became free of charge through the HSE to those who met the clinical eligibility criteria and were deemed to be at substantial risk, excuse me, of acquiring HIV. Absolutely huge, wasn't it?
But I think, and credit goes to, you know, this, the ACT UP Dublin have been at this constantly. I have such respect for the work that they've done. They put constant pressure on Simon Harris. And I also, you know, I'll take my hat off and say fair play to Simon Harris. You know, and fair play, you know, I'm not one to give this government much credit, but I'm like, you know, it took too long to arrive, but the fact that it did arrive, I'm kind of like, okay, fair play.
And, you know, PrEP is just so important and it's so powerful. And the idea that money would have been a barrier to it is, you know, really just appalling.
And it's kind of impressive as well, the fact that it was introduced in Ireland. We were one of the first countries to introduce a free of charge. I think we got it before the UK got it, which is pretty cool.
So, yeah, great. Now we're going to move on to February. I realise we're flying through this, but a lot happened in this year. And Philip Schofield came out. We have a clip here. Let's have a listen.
We sit here every day and some amazingly brave, incredible person is sitting here. And I'm listening to their story and thinking, oh, my God, you're so brave. Oh, my God, you're so brave. And I'm thinking, I have to be that person. I have to be that person. Because I think all you can be in your life is honest with yourself. And I was getting to the point where I knew I wasn't honest with myself. I was getting to the point where I didn't like myself very much because I wasn't being honest with myself. And so, you know, when is the right time? When is the right time to do it? And I, as a family, it's the right time.
So the thing about this is it was a really big deal and then it wasn't a big deal at all.
So I remember when I found out that he'd come out, I was in work and I literally ran around into every one of the edit suites and was like, oh, my God, Philip Schofield's gay. And half the editors were like, isn't he? It's like, no, apparently he's married. I mean, the big story with this is that it was like a big story for about an hour and then everyone was just like, who cares?
Yeah, which is amazing, really. When you think about it, even 20 years ago, it would have been a very different story.
Oh, 20 years ago, it would have been career ending.
Yeah.
Like his career would have been over because, you know, he's Philip Schofield. He's the face of happy, happy ITV clappy television. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
But if you think about it as well, the amount of comfort that must have brought to a lot of people that are in similar situations. Like, I'm sure there's so many middle-aged gay people that are growing or living closeted lives or are in heterosexual relationships that would probably see that and either feel like, okay, well, I now have the courage to do something similar or just feel comforted in it. And then I think as well, the fact that he came out, the fact that he's co-host on like the biggest daytime television show in the UK and it's broadcast to so many communities around the UK and Ireland, like communities where maybe queerness and gay topics aren't discussed and it's not normalised, that it kind of opens up that discussion for people to have that chat.
And also the fact, I guess, that he didn't change, like he didn't change from day to day. He was still the same Philip doing the same show.
Totally.
So to people who don't actually encounter gay people in their lives in towns where maybe people aren't happy to be out, that probably is powerful.
Totally, 100%. Like, I mean, I suppose if lovely Philip Schofield can be gay, well then what's to stop, like, your man sitting next to me in the pub from being gay that I have pints at the weekend, or someone queuing in front of me in Tesco's? Like, it doesn't make a difference. He went on and he continued exactly the way he was, yeah, and no one blinked an eye, yeah, which is lovely.
Again, bingo 2020, Philip Schofield is a gay icon. Didn't have that. But you know, the one thing I will say about Philip Schofield coming out, and this is, might be small but controversial, is I find it, he worked in theatre and television, and I find it really upsetting that, like, that's a really embracing industry. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It is. It really is an embracing industry. Well, I absolutely adore the fact that he was able to come out. I found it very sad that he only felt he was able to do it at that age. Yeah. I was like, man, you worked yeah, in theatre and television.
Well,
you were surrounded.
He was also married with kids.
Yeah.
And I think that makes it more difficult.
100%.
That is a very good point, yes.
And then he also would have grown up during Section 28, that horrible amendment with Thatcher, where completely, like,
woman
gagged any education on homosexuality at all. Yeah. So, like, he would have lived under that oppression for so long, and plus having a family with kids. I'd say it was very hard.
Yeah,
like,
big
challenges. The longer life goes on, the more you amass, the more difficult things get.
Well, now I sound like an ass.
No, you don't. John, let's get on to your mastermind subject, Britney Spears. In May, a huge, huge event on the queer calendar. Britney Spears burned down her gym.
Hi guys, I'm in my gym right now. I haven't been in here for like 6 months because I burnt my gym down, unfortunately. I had two candles and yeah, one thing led to another and I burned it down. So I'm in here and I only have two pieces of equipment left, and I'm going to show you guys what I do during this time.
One thing led to another and I burned it down.
That clip never stops being amazing. I mean, the more you listen back to it, each word is a piece of art. Like, part of me is like, someone needs to take Britney's phone away from her. And the other part of me is like, I think she's living her best life,
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, I think totally. So too. She seems, you know, happy. She, yeah, actually, you obviously saw, John, because I know you're a big Britney stan. But she posted something this week where she was like, I'm in the gym. Yes, it's the same gym I burned down.
But she also posted a happy pride message this week that made absolutely no sense. She was like, I can't remember exactly what the words were, but it was something like, I love the way you the gays
I love
articulate.
You guys. I love you guys at the LGBT community.
At you, the LGBT community.
You articulate so well, or you articulate everything you do.
And I just, like, it's so pure and it's so honest. And, you know, the fact that she would accidentally burn down her gym, it's just totally something we all just expect. And we're like, yeah, sure. We're just all happy. Like, I'm absolutely at that stage now because I am a Britney stan. And yeah, I think we've milked that woman for all that we can. I say, retire, go to a farm with your kids, burn down all the gyms you want. You've given us everything we need. Respect, good night, God bless, good luck. I just, like, I can't. Like, she doesn't owe us anything.
No, yeah. I agree. So I gather you guys have a highlight of the year, which was Thurless Pride.
Yes.
Thurless Pride. I'm not going to say it was a highlight of the year. It was an interesting event in the year, okay? I don't know how that was put on. So I was trying to look back on how we ended up in Thurless Pride yesterday, and it started with Joe Duffy, because Dave and I'm sorry, we both like to discuss Joe Duffy, yeah, on a daily basis.
We're
Joe stans. And if he has a sexy, like, normal people topic, we're losing our minds,
yeah,
okay? Anything other than COVID at the moment is exceptional Joe Duffy, right? There was someone on last week giving out about a parking thing and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. But anyway, yeah, so there was this, Dave, you say this, it was Evelyn was on.
Yeah, so Joe Duffy had a segment where Evelyn, who was one of the organisers for Thurles Pride, was talking about how it was being received basically in Thurles, and they were getting a lot of negative response to it. So they had put up a few posters around the town and some people were going around taking the posters down. So she was obviously complaining the fact that this is awful. It's the first Pride. A lot of people were really excited. So John, in all his wisdom and glory,
and after two bottles of wine, got in contact with Evelyn. 11 o'clock on a Tuesday night and was like, this is outrageous. I was just listening to Joe Duffy. Dave and I will be there in solidarity. And then woke up the following morning with like, oh my God, we actually have to go to this Thurles Pride thing
but
now.
Do you know what though? It was actually such a lovely weekend. Like,
yeah,
we went down, we didn't really have any expectations. We just wanted to go down to show support.
Yeah.
But it meant so much to so many people that were there. Like, oh, everyone came out, and it's such a small little town.
Yeah.
And like all the local pubs, like all the places where you would never expect to see a rainbow flag hung, they had it in their windows.
That's fantastic.
It was fab. And it, like, there was family.
Yeah, and it was, but it was so local that when we got down there initially, we went into the first pub and we were like, do you know where the Pride is? Do you know what I mean? They were like, oh, I think it's just down the road there. Like, it's starting shortly. We're like, thanks.
But how lovely. And what a great representation of where we are now, that Thurles has Pride.
Oh, like, totally.
That everybody's,
yeah,
you know, the pubs are on board. And yeah, okay, there might be a few people who need to catch up, but, you know, we're getting there.
Yeah, 100%.
No, but what was so lovely about it as well is that it was just so random. Because I remember sitting on the train coming back from it, and it was just like one of those things that snowballed where we were, as I said, we were listening to Joe and it became a text message with Evelyn, and then we ended up going down, and I just remember we were coming back in the train going, that was an incredibly lovely random day.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, we have a million more things to talk about.
Okay.
I wish we had a full hour, but we don't. But it's worth mentioning that today is another first, because it's Ireland's first digital Pride, obviously, as a result of the COVID restrictions. It's happening today from 2 o'clock. You can watch through Dublin Pride social media channels or by going to dublinpride.ie/live. Plus, there's a Dublin Pride concert from 7 p.m. It's the traditional post-Pride main stage concert, but directed to your own couch from the round room at the Mansion House and the George. Special guest performances ready to entertain. Will you be watching?
We will.
Absolutely.
100%.
And thank you.
I want to give a huge shout out to all of the drag queens,
yes,
who have kept this country going as far as I'm concerned.
100%. Veda, Shirley.
Veda, Shirley.
Victoria.
Davina.
Victoria. Oh.
Their shows have been phenomenal, and they have absolutely, like, we've been WhatsApping, yeah, watching them together, and they've done a spectacular job, and
they,
I
really
can't
have.
Wait for tomorrow.
Thank you so much, Dave and John from
Thanks
Gogglebox.
Thanks a million.
Bye. Louise McSherry. Weekends from 9 on 2FM.